Have you ever been left out? Did you strive to belong in middle school, but instead you were overlooked? Author Heather Holloman has written a new book for middle schoolers that captures the longing to be in when you are left out. And our favorite writer and author and associate teaching professor at Penn State, Heather Holloman, joins us this morning. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh, we love having you with us. So is this your first fiction book?
This is my first published fiction book. I could not be more excited about this.
Very cool. So what kind of got you to start thinking about writing this book for this age group then, Heather?
Well, it was actually because of my nonfiction book I wrote for women called Seated with Christ, Living Freely in a Culture of Comparison. And I would ask women, you know, when was the first time you felt like you didn't have a seat at the table? And women would start crying about the middle school lunchroom. Seventh grade, the day you realize you don't have a seat with the popular girl and the popular girls. And I just thought, okay, I need to write a book for the daughters of all the moms that love Seated with Christ. So this is a book about a little girl who can't find her seat. And by the end, she realizes she's already at the best table with Jesus. Are you crying already? I'm crying.
Yes. Yeah. And this is such a universal theme, really, when you think about it, because I don't know who in life hasn't had a moment in their life when they felt totally left out. And
that's right.
And so I think this is something that is just universal. And so what do you think from this story that this character will work through to get her to the point of knowing her identity in Christ? What are some of the struggles and some of the journey that she's going to be taking?
Well, the reason why girls love this book already is because it shows exactly what you're supposed to do. Find a good mentor. You know, begin to open up to your parents. She also connects with teachers who help her really discover who she is. She falls in love with science. She realizes that she has all these other friends who love nature just like she does. And she realizes there is a table for her. She just has to find out who she is. And the mentor teaches her about Ephesians 2:6 and that she's already seated at the best table with Jesus. So she begins to read her Bible and pray. And it is such a great story of just that first time you realize God loves you. You already belong. So
yeah.
Those are the key things that a girl needs in order to make it through middle school.
All right. So, Heather, so do you relate to the character of this book a little bit? Were you similar?
Oh, my gosh.
When you?
Oh, my gosh, Ken. It is my story. I remember the exact moment when I walked into the seventh grade lunchroom and my two best friends grew up faster than I did. They were beautiful, popular. They were athletes. Everyone wanted their attention. And Ken and Deb, I was a late bloomer. I was reading grammar books for fun in my bedroom. There was no hope for me. And some of the parts of the book are true. The girl falls in love with this little fox that visits her backyard every night. And she does a science project on the red fox, which is something I did in middle school. So it's about connecting with nature and kind of my own journey of realizing, you know, wait a second, there is a place for me. And really, it's also the day I realize you can kind of take your eyes off yourself and invite other people to the lunchroom table that you're at so you can help include other people. So, yes, it is my story. I don't know if you guys had that story in seventh grade. Everyone I talk to has a rejection story.
Oh,
it might
yeah.
not be seventh grade, but it could have been high school. So,
right.
Yes, it is my story. It's 100% my story and my daughter's story. That's what's so powerful of teaching her Ephesians 2:6 for the first time, that God raised her up with Christ and seated her with Jesus. I said to her, go into that lunchroom tomorrow. Don't think about those popular girls. You're already seated with Jesus. He chose you for his table. You guys, it changed her life. And she was only 11 years old, and she got it. The Holy Spirit revealed the truth of that scripture to her.
So, Heather, tell us about what parents can kind of do with this book. Maybe this would be a good thing for moms and daughters to read together. So tell us a little bit about what a parent can do to kind of instill that.
Exactly. It's a great book to read alongside your daughter. In fact, a lot of moms are reading this book because it does begin to heal that wound. It brings you back to that own time in your life. And Deb, I even have a group of grandmas ordering it and doing book club because they like to reminisce and think about what was life like for us in seventh grade. So grandmas can read it with their grandchildren as well. And what's beautiful is it does talk about reading the Bible for the first time. There's a moment when my character isn't sure she's a Christian and she prays in her bedroom at night and she begins to ask really hard questions like, why does God allow bad things to happen to me? Is God really here? Does he answer my prayers? There's discussion questions in the back that are so good. You're going to love these. So you can read it with your daughter. I've already been asking the little neighborhood children the questions from the discussion guide, and they love to talk to me about this book.
So what are a couple of those questions that are in the back, Heather, that they might find interesting?
Well, one of the things that surprised me is girls that are reading it in the neighborhood right now, some of them actually are the popular girls. So what I ask them is, do you think the popular girls intend to be mean and exclude this other little girl? And they're really thinking through these kind of structures in middle school. So that's one of them. Also, there's simple things like, you know, what is your favorite meal? Who's your favorite teacher? Like, you follow along with this little character. So there's simple questions too. Like, Alita, my main character, loves that cozy feeling you get in the house when dinner's about to be served. And I ask children, you know, what makes you feel cozy in your house? Or, you know, what's your favorite sandwich? So there's easy questions for younger readers. You know, 9-year-olds have been reading it. They love it. But then also some older teens said, you know, the message of this book is so good, I wish I had had it earlier. So I said, okay, tell me the story. You can ask kids, when did you feel rejected? How are we going to handle this? So there's about 10 really good discussion questions. So you'll love it.
Good. Cool.
You also talk about some things that I think all of us face at any age, and that's jealousy, comparison, and rejection. So what do you tell the character to do to deal with those when they slip into our hearts?
Well, the mentor has some really cool mottos for my character, which our own family uses. One of them is, every rejection is God's protection. So the things that this little girl was rejected from, she wasn't invited to a party, but some really bad things happened at that party. She wasn't invited to sit at this one table. Well, those kids really got in trouble and there was a bully. So you begin to see like, okay, maybe God's been taking care of her this whole time. And when you're jealous, you have to realize that no matter where you sit, you have equal access to God's love, power, you know, peace and joy and special blessings for you right there. My favorite moment in the novel is when she finally does get a seat at that popular table, and she looks out in the lunchroom and she realizes, I'm not having any fun here. I want to be with the kids in nature club and the math team. So you realize, why was I jealous? This wasn't even what I wanted. I don't know. Have you guys felt that way? You finally get what you want, and it's not really what you thought it would be like. So that happens to her.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is. So how would you communicate then to, and maybe how did you communicate to even your daughter or others? You know, you focus on Ephesians 2:6 a little bit. How do we really affirm our kids or grandkids that they are, you know, that God does love them and they are important to him? How would you reaffirm that?
Well, I really believe in the power of God's word to come alive in the heart of a child. And what I love about Ephesians 2:6 is it's something you can picture, that God raised us up and seated us with him in Christ Jesus. And Paul was most likely writing from a Roman prison, so his actual location was terrible. But in his mind, he pictured himself with Jesus, and it's a past tense verb, so you know it's something that's already happened to us in part. So with my own daughter, I said, okay, we were watching the BBC's rendition of Merlin, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And I said, look, it's sort of like King Arthur calling the Knights to the Round Table. Picture yourself at this table with Jesus. Nobody's inferior. Nobody's superior. We're all there committed to the king and the kingdom. You have a special seat at this table. And with children, they can really picture that. And Sarah, at 11, she was like, Mom, I get it. She got it so deeply that the next week when we walked into the, you know, PTO meeting, I couldn't find my seat. You know, there's the marathon runner moms. There are the beautiful moms, you know, with the beautiful homes. There's the moms over here. You know, I didn't have a place to sit. And Sarah saw how nervous I was, and she looked at me and she said, "Mom, hashtag seated." You know, she was like, "You're seated, Mom." So help children read God's word, help them picture it in their mind, and also just remind them there are so many beautiful passages. When I was a 12-year-old girl, I memorized Deuteronomy 31:6, and I kept it in my heart. It just says, "Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will not fail or forsake you." So even as a 12-year-old girl, I recited that. I said, "God's with me. I don't need to be afraid." So read God's word with your children. Pray that the Holy Spirit illuminates that scripture to their mind, and don't be afraid to use images and pictures in their mind. Like, picture this, sort of like what David did throughout the Psalms. He always pictured God as a fortress or a rock or his hiding place. We're encouraged throughout the Psalms to think about these kind of things and picture what it's like for us and when we're seated with Jesus.
Yeah.
Heather, this is so important. The subject of identity among youth is like so central in being identified with the right group or what they perceive to be the right group. And so were you thinking that when you wrote this book, just about the whole identity crisis of our culture right now?
Well, as I was writing the book, I was more thinking about the dangers of when a child feels rejected. They will do anything to feel a sense of belonging. So you're absolutely right, Deb. Like, if a peer group is there that's going to accept them, even if those kids are, like, drinking or maybe, you know, maybe they're doing drugs, maybe they're doing things they shouldn't do, if it that feeling of belonging is so powerful that what you want is for your children to feel that they really belong. You know, they're seated with Christ. They belong to this family of believers. So they begin to feel fortified in their soul. Look, I already belong here. I don't need to be getting involved in things that are going to damage me, that are going to be really difficult for me. So my character does start to think through, okay, what do I want to do? What's the right way to behave? How do I begin to make good choices and be with people that are going to make me happy and make me become the person I'm supposed to be? So definitely, I think that belonging is sort of the number one cultural problem we have right now. And even the Surgeon General said, you know, loneliness is the number one health crisis in the U.S. right now. So get the kids to belong to the family, to the body of believers, and it is a protective factor against depression, against making bad choices. So yes, I was thinking about those things. Just belong to Jesus. He will guide your life.
Amen.
That's good. The book is called This Seat Saved. Heather Holloman is the author of the book. Okay, so Heather, before we let you go, we've been also asking our listeners today about a book series that maybe they read growing up, or one that they would recommend to kids to read. Do you have a favorite book series you read when you were growing up?
Well, when I was little, I loved Charlotte's Web. I absolutely, I just loved all of those books that were anything about a child in nature. I just loved. I loved The Trumpet of the Swan. I loved the Little House series. Anything I could get my hands on that involved anyone out in nature is what I loved.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, Heather, we so appreciate your time. Always love having you on the show. And by the way, if our listeners would like to win a copy, we've got a few copies of your book to give away, and we're going to have them text the word book to our phone number, and then we'll put them in a drawing for that. So just text the word book. We'll send you a link, fill out the form, and then we'll get you in that drawing just before 9. So the number to text book is 800-221-9356. Heather, always a blessing to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. God bless you both.